This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcast on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now today and all of this week, we continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts. Now this begins the fourth week of this study, and there's many, many more weeks to come, so tune in each and every time you can, Monday through Friday. But right now, we're going to hear one of my favorite songs, an instrumental version of Beyond the Sunset. Enjoy the music, and then Dr. Green.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Father, as we open thy word to study today. Honor thy word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save souls for Christ's sake. Amen. On the last broadcast in the series, and we're studying Acts verse by verse, and we'll continue this book until we've studied every verse. The last broadcast, I read verses 25 through 27. And I showed you in the Word of God the meaning of the statement, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Now, Jesus went to the grave. His body remained in the grave 3 days and three nights. Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth, the center of this earth. He preached to the spirits in prison. Then when he arose from the dead, he led captivity captive, and he carried the spirits of the righteous to the paradise far above all heavens. Now, I gave you scripture for that. I can't go into it again today because it would take half the broadcast if I review. Now, in verse 28, Acts 2:28, thou hast made known to me the way of life. Now, that means, in other words, the writer here, David, speaking, of course, David here is prophesying concerning the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that he'll sit on the throne. Now, of course, these verses are taken from the Psalms. And I read back on the last broadcast, I read from the Psalms. Now, I don't have time today to go back and do it again. But David said, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Now, he's speaking about the resurrection life. That is, when a believer dies, the body goes back to dust, but the spirit goes to be with the Lord. And at the resurrection, the first resurrection, when the rapture takes place, every body, that is the bodies of the righteous, will be raised incorruptible. Now, verse 29. Well, let me finish that. I didn't finish the verse. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now, you know what David means by that? In other words, David knows way back there in the Old Testament economy, David knew about the resurrection of the dead. God had shown to David, a man after God's own heart, God had shown these things to David, and he knew about it, and he knew that one day he would stand in the presence of Jesus, and then he said, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. In other words, I'll see Jesus in my resurrection body, and then I'll have full joy. Thank God, every born-again believer, Every born-again child of God will see Jesus in a glorious resurrection body. Then our joy will be full. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Now, as I said, these words are words from the Psalms, where God revealed to David these things, and he penned them down. Now, Peter is giving to Israel the prophecy that was uttered by David centuries before Jesus was born. Now, watch these verses. Let me just point out some things, and then we'll move on. David knew about the resurrection, and he said, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life." Then he said, "My joy will be full when I see thee," that is, when I am with thee, and see thy countenance, make my joy full with thy countenance. Now, that means when David sees Jesus, then his joy will be full. Then he said, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you concerning the patriarch David." Now, he said, David's dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us. We know all about that. Now, he was a prophet. David was a prophet. And knowing that God had sworn with an oath that from the fruit of his loins, that is, through the lineage of David, after the flesh, of course, God Almighty was the father of Jesus, but after the flesh, he came through the line of David, and he said that he will sit on his throne. That is, God will raise him up, and he'll sit on his throne. Now, beloved, even on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the coming again, the millennium, the kingdom. He preached it all. And yet today, there are hundreds and hundreds, yea, thousands of people in the churches of America who know nothing about the second coming of Christ, Jesus sitting on the throne of David, the knowledge of the Lord covering the earth as the waters now cover the sea, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, and the 1,000 years of glorious reign. Now, he, that is David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now, I want you to watch the wording of this last verse. Watch it now. Now, seeing that this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, and there's a comma. Now, David seeing this, David knowing this, God having revealed this to David, he spake of the resurrection of Christ. Now, here's what he said, that his soul was not left in hell. Now, what did Jesus say when he died on the cross? He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Now, Jesus literally handed or passed or gave his spirit back to God. His soul went into the center of this earth, into the paradise side of hell. Now, in the Old Testament era, hell was divided into two gigantic rooms, and there was a great partition, a great gulf between paradise and the fire or the torment side of hell. When the rich man died, he opened his eyes in a flame. When Lazarus was carried by the angels into paradise, he went to Abraham's bosom. And certainly we know that Abraham and David and the patriarchs were in paradise in the center of the earth at that time. And so when Lazarus died, he went to be with Abraham. When the rich man died, he opened his eyes in hell fire. Now they talked, and the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus and let him dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. But Abraham reminded the rich man, "Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. No one can pass from where we are to where you are, and no one can pass from where you are over to where we are." So in the Old Testament era, hell was, and of course the fires of hell, are still in the center of this earth. And the paradise side was the place of rest. The fires were the place of torment. But when Jesus arose from the dead, he brought the souls or the spirits out of the center of the earth, and he carried them with him to the third heaven. We read that in Ephesians 4, 7, 8, and 9. You read it again, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7, 8, 9, and right on down through there. Now, that's what David meant when he said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Now, in this verse, it says that his soul was not left in hell, neither. Now, here's what I want you to see. There's a comma. His soul was not left in hell, comma, neither did his flesh see corruption. Now, the flesh of Jesus, went to the garden tomb. His soul went into paradise. His spirit, he handed back to God Almighty in the third heaven. That's God's house. God lives in the third heaven, and the third heaven is the Father's house. The third heaven is paradise, and that's where Jesus said to the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And so, Jesus and the thief, of course, went to paradise in the center of the earth. But Paul said later that he knew a man caught up into paradise, into the third heaven. So the paradise in the center of the earth was carried to the paradise in the third heaven. And since that day, every person, every born-again person, every righteous person has gone to be with Jesus in the third heaven immediately at death. Now every sinner, every unsaved person goes to the heart of this earth in the flames of hell. Oh yes, there is a hell, and there are flames in hell, and there is fire in hell. And what you think about it, what you believe about it, what you've heard about it, what you've read about it, what your preacher preaches about it, what your radio preacher preaches about it, doesn't make any difference. There is a hell where there is a flame, and people are there, and the soul, the spirit, the inner man, the eternal part of man, of every unsaved person, drops into hell the split second they die. Now, verse 32, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, here is the thing that Peter is emphasizing and attempting to drive deep into the hearts of the Jews. You see, they knew that Jesus lived. They saw him. They heard him. They witnessed his miracles. They believed in a man named Jesus. The multitudes, the masses, saw him in action. But what Peter is saying here in this 36th verse, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for sure." Now that word assuredly means, let them know for sure, positively, that God, Jehovah, that is, the God of our fathers, the God of David, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now remember, he is speaking primarily to Jews. In this particular message, in this particular verse, he is attempting to get Israel to see. Now you know he addressed, he said, "Be it known to the house of Israel," and on down, "ye men of Israel." Verse 22 in Acts 2:22, "ye men of Israel," hear these words. Now, God, the God of our fathers, hath made this same Jesus, that is, the Jesus that David prophesied concerning, the Jesus that walked up and down the shores of Galilee, the Jesus that walked up and down our streets, healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, fed the hungry, cast out demons. I want you to know, Israel, that Jehovah, the God of our fathers, hath made that same man, the man that you saw, the man that you listened to on the streets, the man who heals your sick, this same Jesus that you crucified, this same Jesus that you saw on the cross, this same Jesus that you witnessed taken down from the cross and they placed him in a tomb, this same Jesus God hath raised, and he ascended, and God has made this same man whom ye have crucified not only Lord but Christ. He is God's anointed one. He is not just the man that you saw, but now he is exalted. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty, and he is God's Christ, and he is Lord of all, and he is King of kings. Now, let me go back and let's look at verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now, you'll notice several times in the series, I have spent quite a bit of time dealing with the resurrection. And I'm sure that some of you wonder why. Beloved, did you know one of the outstanding attacks of the devil today on the scriptures and true Christianity is to teach that Jesus did not come back from the dead bodily and that there will be no bodily resurrection? If I should tell you the name of one church, and I'm not because I'm not going to do it. I'm dealing with truths and trying to help people, and in this particular case, it would do no good to call names. But if I should give you the name of one group in America who does not believe in the bodily resurrection, some of you would be astonished. One of their members asked me, I was in the home, I was invited there. And of course, at the time, I didn't know it, but I was invited there for the purpose of being questioned and put on the spot concerning my preaching on the resurrection of the dead. Now, this person said, what would God want with these old bodies? Now, let me tell you something. Man, in his original state, was created in the image of God. And I say, without hesitation and without reservation and without apology, and I tremble not when I say it, God will restore to us in our glorified bodies everything that Adam possessed and more before he fell. In other words, the first Adam was created in the image of God. Now he sold out to the devil. And of course, just how much he lost in the fall, I'm talking about physical. Now, he died spiritually. But of course, Adam lost much physically, and from the standpoint of appearance, he lost much when he sinned. But just how much, I don't know. But I know this, when God gives us our glorified body, we will have all the glory and all the honor that Adam had before he sinned, and more, and more. And beloved, we're not going to be ghosts, we're not going to be spirits, we're going to be spirit beings or have a spiritual body. We're going to have a body just like Jesus' resurrection body, a body that will know and move and walk and talk and commune and fellowship. And if we want to, have picnics, hallelujah, yes sir, leave the pearly white city and come down to the new earth and have a picnic with our friends. We'll have all eternity to have a glorious time in Jesus with God's people. Yes, sir, brother. Everything that's good and wonderful and marvelous and complete, God will have it and God will put it in that pearly white city, and God will give it to us, those of us who love him and those of us who serve him and those of us who trust in his precious shed blood. Now, I say that Peter preached the resurrection, Paul preached the resurrection, Jesus preached the resurrection, and John the Beloved preached the resurrection. Of course, Jude, James, and all the writers of this New Testament preached the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. The flesh of Jesus did not decay. Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days, and they said he stinketh. Jesus was in the tomb 3 days, and he walked out of that tomb in the same body they put in the tomb. His flesh did not see corruption. His flesh did not corrupt. But he rose again in the same body, except it was glorified. And after he was raised, He ate broiled fish. He ate honeycomb. And he said, handle me and see that I'm not a spirit, I'm not a ghost, because a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So, Jesus, God raised from the dead, and Peter said, we are witnesses. And now he sits at the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Now the thing that Peter's speaking of there is back in John, when Jesus promised his disciples faithfully, he said, I will pray the Father. This is in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Listen to that verse again. In that day, Jesus said, at that day, this is verse 20, John 14:20, at that day, now the day when the Holy Ghost comes, the day when the promise of the Father is fulfilled, Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And he said, at that day, when that glorious day comes, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. In Colossians 3:3, we are dead, and our lives are hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Now, let me pause right here and make a few statements to my precious Christian friends, those of you who are born-again believers. Some of you are seeking the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm seeking the Holy Ghost. Listen, dearly beloved, the Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost is always referred to by personal pronouns. Jesus always referred to the Holy Ghost as he, him, not it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Never, never, under no circumstances or any circumstances, do not ever refer to the Holy Ghost as it. Now, I'm saying all that to drive home this solemn, eternal fact. If you are begging for God to give to you the Holy Ghost, let me give you some good, sound Bible advice. The Holy Ghost is a person. And when God saved you, God put within you the person of the Holy Ghost. Now, stop begging for the Holy Ghost and yield everything you are to the Holy Spirit. Let him lead you. If you're saved, you possess the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:9, if you do not have the Spirit, you are not a Christian. If you're not born of the Spirit, John 3:5, you're not a Christian. So stop begging for the Holy Ghost and yield your life to be led by the Holy Spirit. He abides in you right now if you're saved. Father, honor thy precious word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save souls, strengthen believers, in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green speaking to you again. And before we close today, I want to let you know that we are now in the second week of our gift offer B. This letter B is all you need to ask for to receive this offer. Now, it is a great offer. We've already had a lot of requests for this offer. It contains 5 books filled with sermons and teaching by some great men of God. Now, we are not including any of my father's books in this series, but they are all books that my dad found and had reprinted to share with us. And it's all available to you in return for your gift to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $5 or more. Now, please send more if you can. If you can send 10, 20, 30, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, I know you will be blessed for the giving. But if you can send a donation of at least $5 and ask for gift offer B, I'm going to send you first a book entitled According to Promise, or The Lord's Method of Dealing with His Chosen People. It's by Charles H. Spurgeon, and I know that almost everyone is familiar with him. There's 128 pages in this book with 20 great chapters. Then we have Night Scenes of the Bible by F.E. Marsh. Now, you may not know who he is, but if you will look him up, you'll find out he was a great teacher and scholar of biblical things. This book is 136 pages long and contains 12 chapters. Then we have Plain Papers on the Holy Spirit by Dr. C.I. Schofield, the same Dr. Schofield who put the notes in the Schofield Reference Bible that we prefer here at the Gospel Hour. It's 80 pages long, and it contains 5 chapters. Then we have the Olivet Discourse, a study of Matthew 24 and 25 by A.C. Gabelline. Finally, we have Thou Fool by Dwight L. Moody, 215 pages long, a great teaching book, 12 sermons, and I know you'll enjoy each and every one of these. So, to get all 5 of these great books, just ask for offer B and send your gift of at least $5. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.